Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. With Mobile's award-winning garden expert and chief horticultural advisor for Mobile Botanical Gardens, Bill Finch. We'll talk about living and growing on the Gulf Coast. Now, your personal yard and garden consultant, here's Bill Finch.
Hey, welcome to a Gulf Coast sunny morning. Hope you're doing well. Hope your garden is doing well. Hope your house is doing well. Hope your life is going well. You know, I've been thinking here over the past several weeks, thinking about how to quickly help people understand what goes right and what goes wrong in their garden. And it occurs to me, it's really a matter of thinking like Gulliver. You remember Gulliver's Travels? Yeah, and I think about Gulliver's Travels a lot. It was one of those books that just drove me crazy growing up. It just kind of got under my skin. I thought about it all the time. You know, here's this guy. His name is Gulliver. And he's traveling to these foreign lands. And when he gets to these foreign lands, he encounters these things that just turn his worldview upside down. He comes to the land of the giants. And then he comes to the land of the Lilliputians. And he has to think about, gosh, how does scale matter? How do we see things? How does the way we see the world around us depend on how big we are? And how do the little things affect us? How do the big things affect us? That's kind of what Gulliver's Travels about. And I've been thinking a lot about Gulliver's Travels in my garden. And in your garden and in our lives, because we always, sometimes look out for the things that are conspicuous to us because of the size we are. We're always threatened by the things that seem bigger than us, or the things that seem life-size to us, that are our scale. They're the things that threaten us. But you know what? In your garden, it's the Lilliputians. It's the little things. It's those little things that make such a big difference in your garden. Now, we got a lot of problems here because of that. It's a lot of problems. So your first problem is you don't see a lot of these Lilliputians. You certainly don't look out for them. That's one of our problems. So when these little Lilliputian things like bacterial wilt, bacteria, I'm talking about bacteria, you got to have a really big microscope to see these guys. They're the things that are attacking your tomatoes. And you're up there looking for bugs. You're looking for the... And not only that, these little microscopic things, these little bacteria are happening below ground, so we don't think about them. But they're the things that really often affect us, and they're the things that affect the performance of so many things in our garden. Slime molds, like Phytophthora and Pythium. I think Pythium's a slime mold as well. They're little bitty tiny things in a way that actually cover a large area, but we don't see them. We don't look for them. They're a type of fungus. They operate at a very small scale in the garden, apparently, but they have a huge impact on whether your plants are surviving. So one of our great challenges is not to get too distracted by the big things, the things that are easy to see in the garden, the things that are easy to see in our lives, the things that seem conspicuous, and focus on the things that are really making a difference in what we do. You know, I had a conversation the other day with a guy who knows these kinds of things, understands these kinds of things. And we were talking about what we know about the world around us and how it affects us. And so we know a lot. Here's a very interesting thing. We know a lot about 20%. There's about 20%, we figure, of the species in the world that we know a lot about. Most of those are things that we can see easily, that we can grab in our hands and identify. giraffes, ants. Easy. But, you know, here's the interesting thing. And ants not so well, actually. But the big things, they're the things we know. We don't even know a lot about insects. What's interesting is that the 80% of things in the world, the species that we don't know, are most likely the things that have the most impact on how we live. Isn't that interesting? So it's an interesting thing that we spend all of our time obsessing about these 20% of the things that you can name right now. Name any of those 20%, anything that you can name, any species you can name. We obsess about those. What are they? Oh, snakes. Sharks. Ooh, they're going to get us, them sharks. Jaguars. Down in New Orleans, getting out of the zoo. Oh, man, that jaguar. Boy, we obsess about those things. But you know what? It ain't the sharks. It ain't the snakes. It's mostly not the bugs that we see on our plants that are going to get us. It's the really small things that get us. How many people do you know who've been eaten by a jaguar? Mm-hmm. How many people do you know who've been eaten by sharks? Or bears? Or killed by snakes? You don't know those folks because they're pretty rare. But, you know, we suffer all the time from the little things. Ooh, you can barely name those little things, but they're out there. The things that affect us. The things that we need to know about. So, here's what I'm saying. We have to rethink gardening to understand that it's the little bitty tiny things that we don't see that aren't conspicuous to us that are going to make the most difference. What are those things? There's a group of things called, let's call them mycorrhiza. I hate to use that word for you because it seems so weird and so out of place, but we don't really have another good name for them. Mycorrhizal fungi. And it turns out that mycorrhiza, if you think about they're a type of fungus. They're a group of fungus. There are probably, we still don't know how many mycorrhiza there are. Probably somewhere around, broadly speaking, tens of thousands of different species of mycorrhizal fungi. We have no idea what to call them all. We can sort of get a sense based on what we know of how many there are out there. But here's the interesting thing. Mycorrhiza are older than plants. They're older than plants. We now know that. And we know that these mycorrhiza made plants possible. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? They played a huge role in the development of plants. Without the mycorrhiza, the plants wouldn't have been able to come along. In one way, you can sort of say these little things we don't know called mycorrhiza, these little tiny things, these fungi in the soil, these mycorrhiza, you could say that the mycorrhiza decided to make their lives better by promoting the development of these things called plants. Which means that mycorrhiza are at the base. They are key to understanding what's going on in your garden. And they are, in many ways. And in our forest. We have a kind of a simplistic idea of what mycorrhiza do. They help plants to feed themselves. But you know, there are other things that mycorrhiza do. They, for example, may help plants defend themselves. Probably their most important role now is to defend themselves from other creatures that might attack the roots of plants. Mycorrhiza, really important for your garden. How much do we know about them? Almost nothing. We just know that they are incredibly important. We see that more and more. It ain't the sharks. It ain't the jaguars. It's not the snakes. It's not the people from other countries that are going to kill you. It's those little bitty things. Those little bitty things. Let's talk about them. Let's talk about your garden when we come back. Give us a call, 251-343-0106, and let's listen to this nice music.
This world alone, there is no sickness, toil, or danger in that fair land to which I go. I'm going home to see my mother. I'm going home, no more to roam. I'm just going over Jordan. I'm just going over.
Celebrate your independence during the month of July with a Liberty Safe during Mike Ward's Scratch and Dent Truckload Sale, now going on. Save hundreds on slightly blemished Liberty Safes with a lifetime replaceable warranty and a fire or attempted break-in. Best of all, have your Liberty Safe delivered up to 50 miles ground floor at no extra charge. Financing for 12 months at 0% interest is available with approved credit. Just look for the giant Liberty Safe at exit 5B, I-65 in Moffitt and Mobile. Call 471-1137.
My friend Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators in studio, and we're talking about bugs. As always, you're going to talk about bugs, but one of the bugs that dominates most conversations for folks here is that of termites, and that's a big deal for us down here.
Yeah, the Formosan swarm, it definitely gets people's attention. You know, it's always, like I said, around Mother's Day. We're getting to that tail end of it, but we're still getting calls with people seeing them still.
How do y'all tackle that? How do y'all, when you come out and you set up a program to keep the termites out, how do y'all do that?
Well, you know, it's tough to keep that swarmer out because he's going to come through 1/64th of an inch. So the swarmers can get in the house. It's just a matter of how many you're seeing and where you're seeing them to actually determine whether you're having a problem.
Okay, so just because I saw some out by the streetlight doesn't mean I have them.
That does not. That just means they're somewhere nearby and they're swarming out. You know, if you call me and you say, hey, they're 2 inches deep in my bathtub, or there's thousands of them in my kitchen or in a particular room, then that would lead to a potential problem, and we'll definitely need to get on that one sooner than later.
All right, if we want to get y'all to come out and check it out, tell us how to get in touch.
You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
We all know someone who believes their plants are more than, well, just plants. They feed, water them. They talk to them, even name them.
Perk up, Fred. Fred, wake up.
People who love their plants just seem to get a certain something from helping them grow. Non-plant people don't really understand, but Cecil Christenberry and all the folks at Old Time Feed in Fairhope understand your plants and your lawn and have the expertise you need to keep your plants thriving. Old Time Feed has been in the nursery, feed, and seed business since man landed on the moon. So buy the highest quality plants and get the best advice to make sure you start off with healthy specimens that will brighten up your home and your yard, that will thrive in our coastal climate from Old Time Feed. For homeowners, contractors, and yeah, even supplies for home chicken coops, Old Time Feed in Fairhope at Highway 98 and Greenough Road.
A message from Billy Joe Underwood, running countywide for the Baldwin County Commission.
Open government and quality of life have been at the forefront of my campaign because I love Baldwin County as much as you. With your help, we will continue to pursue our vision for better Baldwin County. I can't move forward alone. I need your help. I am Billy Joe Underwood, candidate for Baldwin County Commission District 3, and I ask for your vote in the July 17th runoff election. Let's make Baldwin County better together.
Paid for by the committee to elect Billy Joe Underwood, 18446 Davis Road, Summerdale, Alabama.
Paid by a committee to elect David Northcutt, P.O. Box 515, Montrose, Alabama, 36559.
Chris Elliott must think voters of Baldwin County are stupid. He's lying to the voters about David Northcutt. Facts speak for themselves. Fact. Chris Elliott is a tax raiser. He supported and campaigned for Build Baldwin Now, the tax increase voters of Baldwin County rejected. And now he's taking taxpayer-funded trips to Washington, D.C. as a political stunt. Fact. Chris Elliott is in the pocket of Montgomery's special interest. Elliott has received over $350,000 from liberal special interest who support Common Core, weakening gun rights, and especially raising the gas tax, because Elliott has agreed to raise your taxes. Fact. Chris Elliott was arrested for DUI. He stated he was going to own his punishment. He had his attorney in court say that he was too important to lose his driver's license because he was a politician. Come on, Chris. The voters aren't buying your deceit. We have a clear choice on July 17th. Vote for lying career politician Chris Elliott or the true conservative David Northcutt.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Welcome back. Feel free to give us a call, 251-343-0106. Let me tell you, there are a lot of things you can do with that little phone of yours when it comes to this show. One, you can call me. And it's useful to call me because sometimes we may need to discuss your question. Sometimes the questions aren't just quite right on. But the other thing you can do is you can text me pictures, and that's good to remember. So if you've got something and we need to visualize it and you think we may need to visualize it, you can send me a picture. It helps if it's in focus. You're getting better with those cameras on your phones. I can tell. I'm seeing more and more pictures that are really good, really sharp, and I can really make I can make some good guesses based on those pictures. So feel free to do that. You can do it. Both of them happen the same way. 251-343-0106. Sometimes you can text me questions and just even without a picture, and I can give you an answer to the best of my ability. Let me talk about some of the pictures that I just got text. We've got some callers, but I just want to do this. So Mark sent me a picture of a palm that I like very much. The old name for the palm, Mark, and everyone else out there listening, it's an important question. The old name for this palm on the Gulf Coast was jelly palm. What does that tell you? Is that palm edible? You bet it is. I love the fruits of jelly palm. They're ripening right now. They're going to be bright orange, juicy. They have a big seed, but it kind of has a wonderful mango, coconut, jelly palm kind of flavor. I love jelly palms. They're one of my favorite things. They're one of the grapefruits of the Gulf Coast. We used to use them a lot. And now, of course, if we don't find things in grocery stores, we assume they're not edible because we've built our life around eating grocery stores. But, you know, grocery stores are really a matter of what's easy to ship from California. It ain't about what's good to eat. Excuse me for saying that, but it's mostly true. So here's this thing, this tree out there that's got these fruits right now, jelly palms. We're going to go on about them because they're not quite ripe, but they're going to be ripe here in a couple of weeks. And I can see, Mark, from that picture that they're going to be ripe. When they turn fully orange, try them. They're absolutely delicious. I love jelly palms. They're very edible. It's like each jelly palm has a different flavor. And David asked a great question. David, good to hear from you again. Are there any native flowers in America's Amazon, also known as the Mobile Tensaw River Delta, that are easily transportable to our gardens? Well, there's a bunch of questions there. David, first, let me add that America's Amazon isn't just about the Mobile Tensaw Delta. When Ben and Ed Wilson and some other people coined that word and thought about it for this basin, The idea was that it wasn't just the delta, it was everything surrounding the delta, the forests, the river upstream of the delta that we don't call delta, all of that was the Amazon, this America's Amazon. That's where the diversity is. Actually, in the delta itself, which is a very beautiful place because it's such a great wilderness, it's probably the least diverse place in the whole Amazon. I know that sounds weird to you, but that's the truth. The delta, that floodplain, borrows what it has from everything else. So if we understand that this America's Amazon includes things all the way up and down the Alabama River, and the things from the longleaf and the things from the Blackwater Creeks, boy, there's lots of things that work in our gardens from this great Amazon. It's a great place. But let's talk about that floodplain that you cross, that very wet area that's too wet to walk through most of the time without getting your knees wet and it's sinking up to your knees. It's too dry in places to run a boat through. It's this delta. It's this great, incredible delta that a lot of us love. There are some great flowers up there that, in fact, do quite well in our gardens. And I have them in my gardens. A lot of them prefer wet areas. Now, remember that when you built your garden, David, as did everybody else, and built your house, you may have made it in a place that was once delta. A lot of us did. But we decided we didn't want to live in a delta. We wanted to live in someplace very dry. And so we artificially changed that landscape to be very dry. So these delta plants in that floodplain love very dry, they love very wet habitats, and you're trying to put them in a very dry habitat. Nonetheless, some of them survive. I actually create little areas, and a lot of people do, that where you have wet areas in your yard that stay wet a little bit too long, I think, you know, I could use some delta plants there. Rather than trying to fill those areas in with dirt and make them dry like a parking lot somewhere in Fort Wayne, Indiana, why don't I try to make this a little wetter and just leave it wet like the delta so I can grow some of those wildflowers? It's great, and there are a lot of them, irises and crinum lilies, and yes, I even have lotus in my yard, but lotus take a lot of water, and you, David, you must have seen that New York Times article. You would admit reading the New York Times, but I bet you saw that New York Times article about lotus very, very recently, and it was pretty cool. They had a New York Times article about the lotus in the Delta. Interesting thing, and a lot of other media followed up on it. We write about those lotus a lot. So some thoughts there. We're going to get into more detail. Ooh, we've got lots and lots of callers. David, I'm going to get back to that wet area in the garden just in a minute. But Charlie reminds me, we got a caller. I'm listening. What's up?
Hi. You gave me an end to this. I want to talk about, do shiitake mushrooms and fungi grow well here? Baby Bella, I'd like to grow them and give me some tips if they do.
Great. Yes, of course. All fungi grow very well here. We have, you know, it's very impressive that when I go out in the woods, I see chanterelles all the time in many habitats and lots of other very edible mushrooms, lion's mane's mushrooms, many types of edible mushrooms. I caution people, and there are people who collect mushrooms even in the parks around Mobile. They don't like to acknowledge that because they want to hold on to their supply. But I even know some restaurateurs who have collected wild mushrooms from parks around Mobile. So all of these mushrooms grow very well. How do you grow them? First off, let me say there's so many different types of mushrooms, and mushrooms are fungi. The part that we see above ground is the flower, if you will, of a mushroom. It's the spore-bearing body. It's the reproductive part. Most of that mushroom is underground doing all sorts of things that you don't know about. But it is very hard for us to carefully identify mushrooms in the field because we have so many here. So be careful. Be careful when you just pick a mushroom to make sure you know exactly what it is. And other mushrooms, and I'm going to try to do this quickly, Carol, and you may have to hold on. We'll come back. Shiitakes and other mushrooms can be grown in the garden. And I've tried, and I will tell you, I have not been successful so far. And I'm going to tell you why I think I have not been successful so far, because I've seen other people do it very well. But, Carol, when I come back, I'm going to talk specifically about how to do that. Is that okay?
Thank you.
Yeah. We'll be right back. Hold on, Carol.
If it keeps on raining, Libby's gonna break. If it keeps on raining, Libby's gonna break. And when the levee breaks, to stay. Me no levee taught me to weep and moan.
goes home.
This information update brought to you by Truett Insurance and Bonding in Daphne. When you need home, auto, or business insurance, do it with Truett. Call 625-2600 or visit our website, truettinsurance.com. Do it with Truett.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority, and Dr. Bill Williams.
The skies will be partly cloudy today. Look for scattered thunderstorms with temperatures in the lower 90s. Tonight, a few thunderstorms, lows in the mid-70s. And for Monday, scattered thunderstorms with highs in the lower 90s. This is meteorologist Dr. Bill Williams for FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5, the Gulf Coast Weather Authority.
Does a new building with a wind rating of 175 miles per hour appeal to you? That certainly is within our capability. This is Scott Armstrong with Kemco Metal Buildings. For almost 50 years, Kemco has been designing and constructing the highest quality steel buildings for our customers. Whether you need a building for commercial, industrial, agricultural, storage, church, or community use, or if you just want a Kemco building for yourself, please contact us. Kemco will use state-of-the-art software and our many years of experience to help you custom design a metal building that best suits your needs. Check out our website at KemcoBuildings.com or stop by our 40,000 square foot facility on Pollard Road in Daphne. We're big enough to get the job done, yet small enough to give you homegrown service. That is KEMKO 251-626-0594. Our goal is to exceed your expectations.
Attention gardeners, A. Bloom Garden Center's huge annual July sale is going on now. Mention you heard it here for more savings. That's right, just mention you heard it on FM Talk 106.5 for an additional 10% off. This is A. Bloom's largest sale every year, so visit soon for the best bargain selections. For more details, see A. Bloom Garden Center on Facebook or go to abloomgardencenter.com. A. Bloom, 116 Alverson Road in West Mobile near Schillinger and Old Shell. Open Monday through Saturday, 8 to 5, now closed on Sundays. A. Bloom, improving your outdoor living.
This is George Zogby, candidate for Mobile County District Court Judge. Recently, a man was murdered by a person that was just released from jail on an extremely low bond on a charge of burglary just weeks earlier. This is absurd. As judge, I will set maximum bonds on serious repeat offenders to keep them off the streets of Mobile County. For me to do this, I need you to get out and vote on July 17th.
Vote George Zogby, Tuesday, July 17th. Paid for by the committee to elect George Zogby.
Big changes this year in Washington, but how will that affect you? Don Moore explains how to adjust your retirement strategy to make sure you're prepared. Listen to the Retirement Peace Roadmap radio show, Sunday afternoon at 2, here on FM Talk 106.5.
Oh, hello. I didn't see you there. I'm Bob, an apartment home at Legacy Oaks, and I'm so excited. My new family is coming by today to get acquainted. I just love having a family to take care of. A lot of folks have been coming in and out, getting me ready, you know, making sure that my gas, fireplace, and oven are ready. It's always cozy when my family gathers around the fireplace. I like to give my family plenty of room so everyone has their own space, but it's always nice when we get together in my large eat-in kitchen. And you know, Mom's gonna love the large bath. It's a great place to relax in a large jacuzzi garden tub. I'll even protect the family vehicles with an attached garage. And some of my second floor brothers and sisters even have private elevators. I'm kind of secluded in a large gated community in Spring Hill on DeRue Drive with lots of green space, but real convenient to shopping, restaurants, healthcare, and minutes from I-65. There's lots more I could tell you about the amenities here at Legacy Oaks. You know, clubhouse, swimming pool, fitness room. But you can find that out for yourself on the interweb at LegacyOaksApartmentHomes.com. Or you can always call Jimmy, she's real nice, and get a tour at 344-8099. Hey, gotta go. My new family's here. I hope I see you soon. Hey, family, welcome home.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Hey, welcome back. It's a Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. We've got a lot of questions we're going to try to address. I'm going to get back to Carol's mushroom question. I got a text asking me about, is this a good time to prune blueberries? Well, yeah, I would say probably not the best time, but let's make sure you need to prune them at all, because actually until the blueberry is about 6 feet tall, there's just not much point in pruning it. When your blueberries get about 6 feet tall, then you've got to start thinking about pruning, somewhere between 4 and 6 feet tall. You want them to get really well established. There's some little, I don't know, I guess if you're a commercial blueberry grower, there might be some small reason to do a lot of pruning at that point, but you don't really want to. The only thing you'd want to prune out is if there were conspicuous signs of disease. Probably you're not seeing that or other things, but we could talk about that. But just in general, unless your blueberry is 4 to 6 feet tall, don't worry. Don't prune it. No need. Doesn't have to be pruned every year. After your blueberry gets 4 to 6 feet tall, it's probably better to do a late winter pruning. Let's say February. Just as the leaves are beginning to emerge, just as the flowers are beginning to emerge, or even a little later as the flowers are beginning to bud, remove 10% or 20%. Let's make it 20%. Remove 20% of the growth and focus only on the oldest, fattest, tallest canes. Just take them out right to the ground. Boom. Right to the ground. Don't trim up at the top. Don't do any of that. You want to take the oldest canes and trim them all the way to the ground, 6 inches from the ground, as close to the ground as you can get, and about 20%, so that you don't remove more than 20% of the growth, all of it the oldest canes, and that's when your blueberries get to be 6 feet tall. I recommend doing that in February and March. There's some benefits there. If you have a very young blueberry that's its first year, it's also good to remove the flower buds. Ooh, this is so hard for people. Remove as many of those flower buds as you can in that first year, particularly if it's a high bush variety. But in general, I would say you probably don't need to prune unless your blueberries are very tall. If you have any more questions about that, you feel free to give me a call. Hey, Carol, let's get back to this mushroom thing, can we? You still there?
Yes, we can. I'm here.
Yep. Good. So here's the thing.
I'm not going to pick in the wild. I'm not.
Yeah.
By luck, I'd get the one that would do you in a day. So I'm growing them.
And some are very conspicuous and very obvious, but it's the kind of thing you want to be out with somebody in the woods and in the field and in the parks with somebody who really knows mushrooms. And once you see some of these really conspicuous varieties, it won't matter. But on a radio show, I don't think I want to try to guide you in the selection of wild mushrooms. But I can tell you this about cultivating them yourself.
I'm not going to do wild.
Yep. So here we go. So you're going to cultivate them yourself.
Yeah.
And here's what I know. You need good wood. And so there are a lot of different woods that can provide a base for mushroom culture. Live oaks would be particularly good. So if you've done some pruning on live oaks, or if there's some live oak limbs, or pecan limbs would be pretty good. Water oak limbs are okay. They tend to rot out pretty quickly, but they'd be okay. Laurel oak limbs are probably okay, though they tend to rot out. Generally, these oak limbs, pine don't work. Pine does not work. But if you've got some oak limbs or pecan limbs, and they're you want them to be large but manageable. So you want about, let's say, just this is about being able to lift and move around. So a limb that's about, 4 to 6 inches in diameter and about 4 to 6 feet long, that's kind of perfect. And you want it just after it's been cut. You want it just after it's been cut. And then you take a drill, and you can drill all around that log, and you can buy spores for shiitake mushrooms and put them in there. Boom. Just little spores. They're in little pellets. And you drill, you put it in there, and then you put that in a shady place and keep it wet. A lot of times it's not hard to find a shady place that stays wet on the Gulf Coast. But if you've got, and I've got lots of those spaces in my yard, you need to keep it really wet initially, and so you may have to water it even just to supplement it, just sprinkle it with water, spray it with water to keep it moist initially. And chances are you're going to produce a lot of shiitake mushrooms. And a lot of people are doing that. There's some other techniques, but this is the best way to produce a lot of them. So there it is. And you can read up about it. It's a whole gardening technique unto itself. It's something that excites me a lot because I eat mushrooms a lot. and being able to grow. But I will tell you, a couple of my attempts at growing mushrooms have not been good, and that's because I'm pretty sure you can buy bad spores. So I need to find, it's going to cost me a little bit of money to do this. I need to find a reliable supplier of good mushroom spores. So I'm going to report on that. If you have a little bit of time and a little bit of money and are willing to take a risk, I would appreciate your advice on people who are good at supplying spores that are actually going to be reproducible. Does all of this sound too intimidating?
No. I'm a former caterer and a biology teacher, and I have played with more things, so this is kind of my challenge now.
Yes.
Mushrooms are so delicious, and they're so expensive, and I love them in anything, but I'm going to grow them. So I haven't decided exactly, but I will, if I get any good advice, teachers always share. So I'll be back with you and tell you what I have learned and where I can get them and what I can do.
Carol, this is great. This is great. Please keep us posted. Please keep us posted. Remember that the spores are very important. Where we get those spores, we get the young mushrooms are very important. The other thing is the substrate, the wood that we use to grow them on. And the third thing important is the location and the moisture, which kind of work together. So you want to provide all those things. Remember, look for those pieces of wood. You want to get them really fresh. You want to get the wood really fresh. Let me add, because if the wood sits around too long after it's been cut, the problem is that it gets infected with all sorts of other mushrooms, right?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
So you want it you have to let it dry out just a little bit, a couple of weeks. Let it dry out just a little bit before you drill it. But then it's ready to go, and you get a little drill that's just right. In fact, some people actually make drills that are designed just to put those little spores into the wood. And it's a really fun thing. It's not hard. It's a whole new approach to gardening. It's not hard, but you got to find the right spores, just like finding the right seeds.
Okay, I have one question.
Yes, ma'am.
I get a live oak tree that has, you know, like when we have one of our hurricanes that has fallen down, and get it ground up and just put that in a planting container and then put my spores in? Should I use that as a soil?
There are some people who do that. I don't know as much about how that works, and I have a feeling that it is probably harder to reproduce that in a conventional thing. There are groups, and I've seen them, who sell ground up trees in bags in which the spores are included in there. You have to do this in bags. You can't put it outside in a container. It's a lot more complicated, and I don't know that I can't tell you it won't work, but I suspect it involves a little bit more careful thinking about it.
Okay.
So I'm going to be cautious and say, I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Well, here's our experimentation. Let's see how it goes, and I'm going to try several different things, and I'll let you know which one turns out best.
Great. Thank you, Carol. That sounds exciting.
Thank you so much.
All right. Good, good. Hey, Charlie, how much longer have I got, Charlie, before I have to go a couple of minutes? Hey, have we got any more callers right now?
Dan.
Ooh, Dan. Dan, man, we got to get started on Dan's yard. Dan, listen, Dan sent me lots of interesting pictures. And so let's get started. I know we're going to have to take a break in the middle of this, so listen out. But tell me, describe to our listeners what your problem is.
So I've just got some dead spots in the yard. The ground's really hard. And I sent you the pictures last week, and you told me to call in today. I was thinking it was dollar weed that was maybe in a wet area, but you were saying it's actually colt's foot. And one of the problems might be that the sidewalk is getting too hot and kind of making it hard for the grass to grow close to the sidewalk. and I just moved into this house in Midtown, actually, the house that my great-grandparents built back in, like, the 30s or the 40s. And I've got a lot of work to do on it, so I'm just kind of trying to take it step at a time, and I feel like this is a good place to start.
Yeah, Dan sent me some pictures. I can tell you a lot more about his yard and a lot more about what some of the problems may be. I hear the music telling me I have to take a break, but we're coming back, and we're going to talk with Dan about his yard and the problems he has in his yard. I bet you've got similar problems in your yard. We're going to talk about it when we come back.
All the tea in China. Put it in a big brown bag for me. Sail right round all the seven oceans. Drop it straight into the deep blue sea.
This Sunday, July 15th, is National Ice Cream Day. Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop is celebrating with her customers. Bring the whole family. Come out from 1 till 7 Sunday evening for face painting, a visit with Sunshine the Clown. Enjoy lots of giveaways and have lots of fun. It's Cammie's Day to celebrate with all of her awesome customers. National Ice Cream Day this Sunday from 1 till 7 at Cammie's Old Dutch Ice Cream Shop on the corner of Old Shell and Florida. Don't miss it.
I'm Dr. Brian Heller with Southern Cancer Center. I'm often asked how I got into the field of oncology. In medical school, I wasn't sure what kind of doctor I wanted to be until that first day on a rotation in the cancer ward. I met a young girl with leukemia who had a huge impact on me. After that, I met another cancer patient and then another. I had never before experienced interacting with patients on such a deep level. That's when I knew I wanted to take care of patients with cancer. At Southern Cancer Center, I also want to take care of you. I want to navigate you from patient to survivor.
Paid by committee to elect David Northcutt, P.O. Box 515 Montrose, Alabama 36559.
Chris Elliott must think voters of Baldwin County are stupid. He's lying to the voters about David Northcutt. Facts speak for themselves. Fact: Chris Elliott is a tax raiser. He supported and campaigned for Build Baldwin Now, the tax increase voters of Baldwin County rejected. And now he's taking taxpayer-funded trips to Washington, D.C. as a political stunt. Fact: Chris Elliott is in the pocket of Montgomery's special interest. Elliott has received over $350,000 from liberal special interest who support Common Core, weakening gun rights, and especially raising the gas tax, because Elliott has agreed to raise your taxes. Fact: Chris Elliott was arrested for DUI. He stated he was going to own his punishment. He had his attorney in court say that he was too important to lose his driver's license because he was a politician. Come on, Chris. The voters aren't buying your deceit. We have a clear choice on July 17th. Vote for lying career politician Chris Elliott or the true conservative David Northcutt.
My buddy Austin Key from Arrow Exterminators back in studio. Summertime's here and the living's stingy and bitey. I think about my backyard. You got fire ants on the ground, you got mosquitoes in the air, and I need Arrow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, Mobile is the area for definitely for fire ants, and mosquitoes is almost a year-round problem for us.
So you got to tackle something that's, two different critters out there that are kind of ruining our backyards for us. How do you do that?
Well, we'll create a customized plan specifically for your needs, whether it be our fire ant program or a mosquito program that we can put in place for you.
Okay, so the fire ants take over somebody's backyard. Does Arrow have a way to keep them at bay so I can get back out barefooted? Can you get rid of fire ants?
Yes, we can come out and we'll send an evaluator out to take a look at that property and figure out specific areas that we need to treat, and we can take care of the fire ants for you.
All right, so we're going after mosquitoes, we're going after fire ants. How do we get in touch with you?
You can reach us at 888-GO-ARROW or arrowexterminators.com.
All right, Austin, so I am planning a family party around that information. Get rid of those fire ants, get rid of those mosquitoes.
Absolutely, we've got 100% satisfaction guarantee.
You've been through a lot lately, an unforgiving economy that's impacted you both financially and emotionally. At UBS, we understand how you feel. UBS financial advisor Drew Wing can tap into the global resources of UBS and advise you on how to invest in the market while protecting your principal with FDIC insurance. And while Drew has a unique global perspective, he also has a local presence right here in Mobile. You can count on Drew to give you the face-to-face attention you deserve, answer your questions, provide clear direction, and offer advice that's relevant and trustworthy. Global perspective, local presence, protection. Call UBS Financial Advisor Drew Wing at 251-510-0748. Advice you can trust starts with a conversation. So call 251-510-0748 today. $200,000 minimum account balance. UBS Financial Services, member SIPC.
Welcome back to Plain Gardening for the Gulf Coast. Ask Bill Finch your gardening questions now at 343-0106.
Yeah, welcome back. It's Gulf Coast Sunday morning with Plain Gardening. Boy, I'm getting lots of texts this morning that I need to answer. David, I'm going to talk about your azaleas. Don't let me forget about them. We're going to talk about azaleas. Short answer is too late to prune the azalea bushes now in that old conventional way. Let me tell you what you can do with azaleas this time of year, and it's very easy and won't do damage. But if you go in and you whack those azaleas, you've lost your flowers. That's the truth. That is the absolute truth. We've got some great pictures from David of beautiful beans and crab cakes. I love that. Shipfitter Sean, great picture, Shipfitter Sean. I've got some real good suggestions about hanging baskets. Listen, if you guys, hanging baskets on the north side of the house, I've got some great advice for you. We're going to have to wait till after this, the top of the hour break, and I'm going to come back and I'm going to talk to Shipfitter Sean about that. And the reason we're going to wait is Dan has been patiently waiting to talk about his yard. Dan, can I just tell you real briefly some of the things I'm seeing in your yard based on some of the new pictures? You know, there is the old idea that weeds eliminate grass, but that's not what happens usually. And Dan and I have kind of talked about this a little bit. Dan has a problem with pony foot, but the only reason he has a problem with pony foot is because the grass has died there. And the pony foot is keeping that from being bare dirt. So the pony foot, the colt's foot, the pony's foot is a good thing. It keeps your soil from being washed away. But yes, looking at this picture, I can tell that there are a couple of things going on. When your yard is dissected by lots of sidewalks and other things, it has several effects. One is to change the hydrology. By that I mean water can't move around the yard as freely as it normally would. And when that happens, you end up with these dry areas because water can't move there very easily. That often happens around sidewalks, particularly between sidewalks and the street. There is the heat issue around sidewalks as well. All of that's important. There's another thing that's important in how well your yard does, and that's trees. And my suspicion is, Dan, that looking at some of the areas where you have dying grasses, there, I bet if you were to dig there, you'd see a lot of tree roots. Because I over outside the picture, I see the shadow of what appear to be a lot of trees on the edge of your yard. And those roots are coming in there, and they're probably stopping right where your sidewalk is and really competing for moisture and other things with your grass. So there are a lot of issues, but basically it all boils down to this, Dan. You can patch that yard. You can patch that yard. I wouldn't try to do it all at once, but you can patch it and probably get somewhat better performance. But we need to improve the soil as we patch it. Dan, do you know whether you have centipede or St. Augustine?
I sent one of the new pictures I sent. I don't know if you can really make it out, but it looks like there's two different kinds of grasses in that one little square of yard. It looks like there's St. Augustine over to the left and more like a centipede, kind of thinner blades closer to sidewalk part.
So that was my guess, that you had two kinds, because I couldn't tell from the picture. It looked in the foreground, it looked like centipede, and in the background, it looks like St. Augustine. You'll notice that the St. Augustine is generally healthier and thicker. Centipede, I'll just tell you, is a weak grass. I don't want to – centipede, it's very interesting. I've been seeing centipede a lot in the northern part of the state and in the central part of the state on clay soils. It actually does fine. But on our sandy soils in Mobile, it performs very poorly, particularly in wet sandy soils and in the middle part of town. We just have severe problems, and I can tell that your yard's in the middle part of town, that we have severe problems with making centipede live. Everybody grows centipede because it's the cheap grass, and it's always available. St. Augustine is not perfect by any means, but it generally, is a stronger grass and performs better. So I'm going to recommend that you repatch with St. Augustine. When you do it, and I don't recommend that you do it now, just kind of keep things on hold for a while. Just make sure that the St. Augustine that you've got, mow it at as high as you can. 3.5 inches, 4 inches is even better. That St. Augustine will perform really good. But this winter and this fall, but sometime around October, November, let's talk about this again. And let's talk about how to take a section of that yard and patch it. And what we're going to do is we're not just going to buy the sod. We're actually going to change the soil so that it is more resistant to drying out. Simple way of doing that. And it basically involves using organic matter and doing the right kind of digging. And you've got the perfect yard for doing this in. So let's try that this fall. You okay with that?
Yeah, that sounds great. It's good to know. And you're talking about maybe using the grass that's already on the lawn to kind of patch other areas?
No, I think you're going to need to, you don't want to move what you got, because moving it will damage it. Let's keep what we got, and let's keep it really healthy. And then we're going to go in and take smaller areas where it's not growing very well, and we're going to improve the soil there. We're going to add organic matter to that soil so that it's more resistant to the kind of drying out that we're seeing. And we're going to use a better grass than the centipede, which is a weak grass and is very vulnerable anyway. We're going to use a better grass. And if we get St. Augustine growing well there, the pony's foot, it ain't got a prayer. The St. Augustine is a weed and pony foot up. But let's don't try to fix it now. Let's try to fix it this fall. We're going to add lots of organic matter. I'm going to tell you how to do it. We're going to break up the subsoil so that the drainage is better. I'm going to tell you how to do that. You do it with a fork. It's very simple to do. We're going to add the organic matter in just the right way. Very simple. And then we're not going to till it in. We're just going to leave it there. And then we're going to put the sod right on top of it. So get ready to do that in October. Does that sound good?
Yes, sir. That sounds absolutely wonderful. I appreciate it.
All right, Dan, be sure to call me back now when we get to that time so we can talk about the specifics of this, okay?
I will, and I'm sure I'll have more questions about other issues in the yard in the meantime.
Yeah, all right. That's a good thing. Hey, guys, we're running out of time. I have so many good pictures here, but here's the good news. The good news is you get to listen to the news or not. But after the news... because you know you need to know the news, you get the weather, we're going to be back, and we're going to answer all of these questions. It's going to be a lot of fun. David, man, you got questions coming out one place after another, David. Boy, you just got the questions today. I'm going to try to get to them all. Got some great pictures coming up. Ronnie's got some beautiful, beautiful thing, and I'm going to talk about it. Oh, so much to talk about. Stay tuned.